And I want you to take your Bibles, if you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Today I'm talking to you about unexpected Christmas, what to do when everything changes. I'm going to be preaching on that series for the rest of the Christmas season. And today I want to talk to you about experiencing unexpected joy. Her name was Stella Thornhope, and she was expecting to be by herself on Christmas. She made the decision at Thanksgiving not to decorate the house. Her husband had died just a few months earlier of cancer, and she just didn't feel like Christmas. And so the house was not decorated, and it was a cold, cold day on Christmas Day. She was snowed in. So she was surprised when her doorbell rang, and when she answered the door, there was a delivery man there holding a large box. And he said, "I need you to sign for this box." And she said, "Well, what's in the box?" And he opened the box, and there was a golden Labrador Retriever puppy that was her gift for Christmas. And he picked the dog out of the box, and it was squirming around. And he said, "It's 6 weeks old. It's completely housebroken, and it's yours." And she said, "Who gave me this dog?" And he said, "Well," he gave her an envelope. He said, "It's all in the letter inside this envelope." And then he handed her a copy of a book, How to Raise Your Golden Labrador. And he told her, he said, it's a gift from your husband. He said, "Your husband made an arrangement with the kennel to have this dog for you and for it to be delivered on Christmas Day. And 6 months ago, he came while before the dog was born and made arrangements." And so she came into the house and she had that little dog. She was holding it and she opened the letter from her husband. In the letter, her husband, who had delivered that letter to be given to her 3 weeks before he died, he said, "I'm going to miss you. I love you. I want you to be strong. I'm looking forward to the time that we're together again in heaven, but right now I want to give you this little dog to keep you company." And so she looked at that dog and she said, "Well, little fella, it's just you and me." And so she said, "I want to take you downstairs. We've got a Christmas tree downstairs and we're going to put it together, and there's some decorations and some lights and there's a manger scene." And all of a sudden, all of her grief, all of the uncertainty, all of the pain she had been feeling was taken away just for a few moments and replaced by joy. It's what Christmas teaches us. Joy glows in the dark. God gives us a joy when we're experiencing the darkness of discouragement that just lights up that darkness and replaces it with his joy. And you know, somebody has noted that there are just a number of different people that are experiencing discouragement in different seasons of their lives. There's the discouraged single person going home to cook a meal for one and then watching television by themselves at night. Or the discouraged spouse. You know, marriage is meant for intimacy, but it can also be a place of great discouragement. One woman said, "My husband's a good man, but my emotional needs are rarely met because he works all the time." She said, "It's a case of two people living parallel lives, but never really meeting at all." There's the discouraged survivor, people who live on after a loved one has died. And they experience a pain that's so intense that there's nothing like it, and divorce can be as bad and even worse. There's the discouraged senior citizen, someone who once held a position of respect and leadership, and now they wonder if anybody notices them or needs them. There's the discouraged sufferer, someone going through a prolonged illness. People today suffering with COVID or a compromised immune system and having to stay in, and the lights go out at night and discouragement sets in. And then there's the discouraged servant of God. Most pastors and most ministers have experienced what Moses expressed in Numbers 11, verse 14, when he said to God, "I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me." Everyone encounters discouragement. Here's the good news. The joy of Jesus Christ glows in the dark of discouragement. Today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that sometimes we skip over when we're reading the Christmas story. We may read it and then move on to the next thing, but I want to dive into it a little more deeply today. It's the story of Mary's visit to Elizabeth. It happened right after Mary learned that she was going to give birth to Jesus. And along with the announcement that she was going to have this son who would be the son of the Most High God, the angel Gabriel also told Mary that Elizabeth, her relative, would have a child in her old age. Now, the Bible tells us that Mary and Elizabeth were relatives. We don't know whether they were cousins or second cousins or something else like that, but they were related to one another somehow, and their situations were really very similar, but also very different. Mary was a very young, expectant mother. Elizabeth was an old, expectant mother. I was going to say she was an older, expectant mother, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says she was old. If the Bible says you're old, you're old. And so we don't know how young Mary was. We don't know how old Elizabeth was. No doubt for both of them, it was an exciting, exciting time. But there were still many reasons for both of these women to be discouraged. Elizabeth was at least 6 months along in her pregnancy. She faced the challenge of raising a child in her old age. And the Bible tells us that her husband, at least 6 months ago, Zechariah, was rendered speechless as a punishment from God. And he was unable to communicate with her at all during her pregnancy. Now, you can decide for yourself whether that was a good thing or a bad thing. But I imagine it was pretty discouraging for Elizabeth. And then Mary, she faced all kinds of discouragement. She knew that she was going to give birth to the Son of the Most High. The angel had told her that. Still, her miraculous pregnancy created crisis. It was impossible for her to explain her situation to her friends or to the people around her. And her fiancé, Joseph, had a hard time understanding or accepting what was happening. These could have been two very discouraging women. Instead, there's a conversation between them that just overflows with joy and hope. And that's what I want us to read about, beginning in verse 39 of Luke chapter 1. Stand with me as we read God's word together. The Bible says this: "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.'" This is the word of God. Will you join with me as we pray? Father in heaven, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you would move me out of the way and, God, that you would speak. Lord, speak a word of joy, a word of power, a word of blessing, a word of joy to your people today, as we come into your presence and hear your word. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. And church, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The big idea of this passage of Scripture, and I want to make sure I say it plainly and clearly at the beginning of my message: Jesus blesses every life he touches with joy. If Jesus touches your life, he brings joy into your life. And as we look at this passage of Scripture and look at this conversation between Mary and Elizabeth, and of course Elizabeth is doing all the speaking, we see that Jesus brought joy to them even in an uncertain situation. So let's talk about the joy that Jesus brings. First of all, the Bible shows us Jesus brings joy you cannot hide. He brings joy you cannot hide. Look in verses 41 and 44 of our text. And the Bible shows that there are actually two meetings going on. On one hand, there is a meeting above the surface, but then there's another meeting beneath the surface. One meeting is happening between two women. The other is happening between two unborn babies. One meeting is happening between Mary and Elizabeth. The other meeting is happening between John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice something in verses 41 and 44 of our text. The Bible uses in both verses the word baby. The Bible says in verse 41, the baby leaped in her womb. And down in verse 44, Elizabeth says, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Two times the Bible uses the word baby. And the word in the original language means just that. It means baby. Sometimes it was used to refer to an older infant. Sometimes it was used to refer to a newborn child. And sometimes, as in this case, it's used to refer to an unborn child. The Bible calls that unborn child a baby, the same word that it would use for a child held in its mother's arms. If you want to know how the Bible views the sanctity of human life and where life begins, this verse of Scripture really tells you everything you need to know. Now, the Bible says more about it in other places, but this verse of Scripture tells you everything you need to know. From God's standpoint, human life begins not at birth, but in the womb at conception. And here's what we see. One unborn baby boy, John the Baptist, leaped for joy. Not just leaped, he didn't just move. The Bible says, and this is the Holy Spirit of God speaking, he leaped for joy. There was not only movement, there was recognition and emotion. He leaped for joy in the presence of Jesus Christ, another unborn baby boy, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I think it is absolutely providential that we would be talking about this on this Sunday. This past week, the U.S. Supreme Court heard the Dobbs case, a Mississippi law that bans abortions after 15 weeks. Think about this. At 15 weeks, a baby in the womb can kick, move, sense movement, feel pain, and even hiccup. I am praying, and I ask you to join me in praying, that the Supreme Court will use this opportunity to reverse Roe v. Wade and protect unborn children. And you know, there's great reason to be encouraged, but there's also a great need. America is one of only 7 countries in the world that allows abortion on demand after 20 weeks of pregnancy. As a result, more than 63 million babies have been killed by abortion since 1973 in the United States. This is not a political issue. This is a spiritual issue. This is a life and death, biblical and moral issue. And the Bible is clear. Right in this text, clear as it can be. A baby in a mother's womb is a human being made in God's image as much as a baby in a mother's arms. And our text here shows that an unborn baby is capable of leaping for joy. It's a reminder. Jesus brings joy that you cannot hide. John the Baptist was hidden from the world's sight. And yet he heard Mary speak and he experienced joy in the presence of Jesus so much that Elizabeth felt the baby leap. The joy that Elizabeth was carrying inside of her could not be hidden. Now look at verse 44 again. Elizabeth said, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Think about that word joy. The word joy that she used here means exuberant, expressive, unhidden, even unhideable joy. It's a joy that you cannot suppress. The Bible says this of the Lord Jesus in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. The Bible says that Jesus gives us inexpressible joy. The word inexpressible there means joy that you can't put words to. It's beyond what you can speak. Jesus gives us such a deep joy that it may be impossible to explain. You can't put words to it. It's there, though, and you just can't hide it. A man I know named Bob told about a time when he was experiencing excruciating physical pain as a result of a spinal injury. Even the slightest movements would cause severe pain to go down his left side and his arms and his fingers, just experiencing lots and lots of pain. The only relief he got was when he took very strong medication that his doctor had prescribed, and he would sit for long periods of time on bags of ice. His doctors told him that in order to recuperate, he needed to step away from his work, which was incredibly difficult for him to do. And he had to wear a neck brace 24 hours a day for 5 weeks. Halfway through his painful recovery, Bob was sitting on the screened-in porch behind his home. It was a cold, rainy, windy day. And he was sitting there, and the weather just sort of matched his mood. He was miserable. He didn't really want to be outside, but he just needed a change of scenery, and so there he sat. And as he sat on that porch, a little bird landed on the rail of that porch and just began to sing beautifully. And Bob thought to himself, how can any creature on earth sing on such a miserable, cold, rainy day as this? He said later on, if I'd had a gun, I would have shot that bird. But he sat there, and he had to listen to that bird sing. He came out and sat in the same place on the next day. And that day was completely different. It was warm and sunny. Just the weather had changed. But Bob still felt gloomy and discouraged. And he sat there, and as he sat there, the same bird, at least it looked like the same bird, came and landed on that same place and sang again. And here's what Bob realized. That bird's song was not altered by its circumstances. It sang the same song on a warm day as it had sung on a cold day. And Bob said later on, it was as though God was quietly telling me, you've got the same choice. You can either let your attitude be dictated by your circumstances, or you can choose to let your attitude rise above your circumstance. He felt the Lord saying to him, it's your choice. There are all kinds of things that can steal your joy. Physical pain, guilt, emotional hurt, grief, lack of purpose, burnout, worry, regret, all of those things can steal your joy. But the Bible shows us that Jesus' presence within us keeps joy alive. I believe there's some people in this room today, and God is calling you to say, I will choose joy. And by the way, don't make the mistake of saying, well, I'll choose joy once my life gets better. No, He's calling you to choose joy right now, to say, hey, my circumstances stink, but I choose joy. I'm in pain, but I choose joy. There's every reason to be discouraged, but I choose joy. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I choose joy. Jesus brings joy that you cannot hide. Secondly, the Word of God shows us this. Jesus brings joy that blesses your life. He brings joy that blesses your life. Look in verses 42 and 43 of our text. The Bible says that filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth began to speak. She had a supernatural discernment and insight into what was happening with Mary. And so when Mary came in and just greeted the house, Elizabeth understood what was going on and shouted out the words we read in verse 42. Now, in our language, what she says just sounds like regular language. It just sounds like prose. But in the original language, it was poetry. She recited or composed a little poem just in response to Mary coming in. And the poem went this way. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Elizabeth realized that Mary was blessed. Now the word for blessed here means to be honored and well spoken of. Elizabeth saw in Mary the greatest blessing and honor that any woman on earth could experience. Why? Why was Mary so blessed? Well, the Bible tells us because of the baby that she would bear. In fact, Elizabeth understood that the baby to be born was her Lord. Look in verse 43. She asks, why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth understood that she herself was blessed because she was in the Lord's presence. She was in the presence of the unborn Lord Jesus Christ, and His presence blessed her life. Jesus brings joy that blesses your life. You know, one of the things that I've learned is joy comes in my life when I'm closest to Jesus. And joy disappears from my life when I begin to get away from Jesus. One of the things I love about this time of year is having a fire in the fireplace. And this past week, I've got a fireplace outside, and so I built a fire one afternoon, and it was late in the afternoon, and I was sitting there by the fire, and I took a picture of my feet propped up and the fire, and I sent it to my dad, and he said, "Wow, you really look warm." And I said, "I am. It's 65 degrees here. It's warm without the fire, But you know, especially when it gets cold, there's nothing like just coming up to that fire and putting your feet up and warming up by that fire. But here's what I've learned. No matter how long you stand by that fire, when you walk away from the fire, you really don't take the warmth with you. Not for very long. You step away and it gets cold pretty quickly. In fact, C.S. Lewis wrote this. He wrote, "If you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you must get into the water." And then he said, "If you want joy, power, peace, eternal life, you must get close to or even into the thing that has them." The joy of Jesus is a gift that only comes through his presence. It's in his presence that we experience joy. Psalm 16 verse 11 says this, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's in his presence that we experience joy. Elizabeth experienced joy because she was close to Jesus Christ. The same thing is true with you. When you walk closely with Jesus each day, you'll have his joy. When you get further away from him, you'll lose his joy. How do you walk with Jesus closely day by day? By spending time in his word and letting his word speak to you. By bringing your life before him in prayer. Notice how I said that. Don't just bring your needs to him in prayer. Bring your life. Just pour your life out to him in prayer. That will bring you joy. To worship him and praise him for who he is day by day brings joy. To follow him and obey him and serve him brings joy. Many people have heard that J-O-Y, joy, can stand for Jesus, others, and yourself. When my wife Michelle is teaching the new believers class for kids here at Quail Springs, she teaches them to pray using that pattern. Jesus, others, and yourself. Start by praising Jesus and speaking to Jesus, then pray for the needs of others, and then at the end, pray for yourself. And that's a beautiful pattern for joy. But there was a pastor in Scottsdale, Arizona, who preached a Christmas message one time, and he said something different. He said, "The J stands for Jesus, the Y stands for you, and the O stands for zero, nothing." And here's what he said, "Joy comes when there's zero between Jesus and you." When there's nothing between you and Jesus, that's when there's joy. When you allow sin or worry or anything else to come in between you and Jesus, the joy goes away. But Jesus blesses every life he touches with joy. Number three, the Bible shows us this. Jesus brings joy you receive by believing. He brings joy you receive by believing. Now look in verse 45 of our text. We've seen that this passage overflows with two things, blessing and joy. And that's illustrated by the fact that Elizabeth used a wide vocabulary to talk about both blessing and joy. She uses two different words for blessing in this passage. She uses two different words for joy. So I want you to notice in verse 45, she used a word for blessed in verse 45 that's different than the word she had used back up in verse 42. It's a different word. Our English word is the same, but the word she used was different. In verse 42, she used a word for blessed that, as we said, means to be honored or well spoken of. It means that others see God's blessing and God's favor on you. That's what she meant by blessed in verse 42. Verse 45 is different. The word for blessed in verse 45, when she says, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." That word blessed means to be deeply happy and spiritually satisfied in the deepest part of who you are. It's a blessing, not just that others see, but a blessing that you know in the deepest part of your heart. It's the kind of blessing that fills us up so that no matter what our circumstances are, we have real glow-in-the-dark joy. And Elizabeth looked at Mary and said, Mary, you have that kind of blessing. And here's why. The Bible says, because Mary believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Mary received blessing because she believed. God promised that she would bear a son who would be the Son of God. And she trusted God. She believed God at his word. And because she believed, that made all the difference. Listen, believing and trusting God, that is the key to the whole Christian life. The Bible says without faith, without believing, it's impossible to please God. For everyone who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Christ now lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, by believing the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Every part of the Christian life from beginning to end depends on believing God. And absolutely, are you listening to me today? Say amen if you are. Absolutely today, joy comes into your life as you trust God, as you believe in him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. The Bible says that God fills us with joy and peace and power and hope as we believe, as we trust God. Mary believed, and as a result, she was blessed. The fact that Mary believed is remarkable. It's unexpected. Her pregnancy was unprecedented. Her pregnancy was controversial. Her pregnancy was impossible to explain. And following God's plan for her required complete trust in God. But she believed and she was blessed. The same thing is true for you. When you believe in Jesus, no matter how hard your circumstances may be, when you simply say, I'm going to walk by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When you trust in him, he'll give you joy as you believe. Who is this Jesus? Who is this one named Jesus who Mary carried in her womb? The ancient theologian Gregory of Nazianzus answered that question this way. Who is Jesus? He began his ministry by being hungry, yet he is the bread of life. Jesus ended his earthly ministry by being thirsty, yet he is the living water. Jesus was weary, yet he is our rest. Jesus paid tribute, yet he is king. Jesus was accused of having a demon, yet he cast out demons. Jesus wept, yet he wipes away our tears. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, yet he redeemed the world. Jesus was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, yet he is the good shepherd. Jesus died, yet by his death, he destroyed the power of death. And we receive the gift of salvation and his peace and his blessing and his joy by believing. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you, have any of you so far this Christmas season received any gift cards from anybody? Anybody, if you haven't received one yet, you'll receive one before the season is over. And if you don't receive one before the season is over, you still have cards from last year that you haven't used. I looked in my wallet today and I've got two cards that I want to make sure I use, because I read something. This surprised me. I read an article this week that said $3 billion worth of gift cards every year go unused. Now, when you get that card, you know what you're supposed to do with it. You spend the money. You go to Starbucks, you go to Sonic, you get on board Amazon, wherever it is you got the card, you spend that money. But $3 billion worth of gift cards every year go unused. And eventually that unspent money either goes back to the store that provided the card or the bank or something, and they're glad to get the money back. But I want you to hear the words of Dan Horn. He's the professor of marketing and associate dean for the School of Business at Providence College. And I want you to hear what he said in an article on unused gift cards. Here's what he said. Listen. He said, the recipient's part of the bargain is to accept the giver's gift. Think about that for a moment. When it comes to a gift card, the recipient's part of the bargain is to accept the giver's gift. Now think about that from a spiritual standpoint. God, the greatest giver, has provided the greatest gift. He's provided salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about God providing as a free gift what we could never earn, never purchase, never deserve on our own. We need salvation. We need rescue from our sin. We need deliverance from the guilt of our sin. We need rescue from the judgment that comes because of our sin. And so God sent his son Jesus as the only way that we can be saved. And his salvation is an absolutely free gift. Praise the Lord for that today. But listen, think about the words of that professor. The recipient's part is to accept the giver's gift. You know, if I never use these cards, they're not worth anything. They're not worth anything to me if I never use them. And if I never use them, then I never really fulfill the intention of the person who gave me these cards to begin with. In order to do what the card was meant to do, I've got to receive it and use it. Here's what the Bible says. By faith, by believing, you receive the giver's gift. You receive the gift that God wants you to have. The way you're saved is by receiving the giver's gift of eternal life. And listen to me, Christian. The way you have joy is to receive the gift of joy that God gives you from his hand. Your part is to receive the gift that God is already offering to you. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes as we pray together. Lord God, we love you and praise you and thank you for this good day that you've given us. And Lord, I pray for those in this room who right now have never trusted Jesus as Savior. Lord, show them how much you love them, that today they might call on the name of Jesus and be saved. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to ask you, do you know, just as surely as you're sitting where you are, do you know that you have a home in heaven? Do you know that you've been saved? If you're unsaved or unsure, today you need to get saved. Today you need to make sure that you're saved. And you can do that simply by calling on Jesus and receiving the giver's gift, receiving the gift of salvation he offers you. I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer, and as I pray out loud, I invite you just to pray with me in your heart. If today you desire to trust Jesus as your Savior, you can pray this way. Dear Jesus, just pray it in your heart. Dear Jesus, I know that you're God's Son. I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, right now I turn from my sin. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross to pay the price for my sin. I ask you to save me right now. Jesus, give me your gift of eternal life. Through your resurrection, give me eternal life. And Jesus, I will follow you and I will serve you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. For I pray this, Jesus, in your name. If you just prayed that prayer with me and you meant it in your heart, the next thing you need to do, just as soon as we stand up, just as soon as you stand up, and the song starts in a moment, I'm going to ask you to step out of your seat, walk down one of these aisles. There'll be pastors here at the front. And I'm inviting you just to come and say, yes, today I prayed that prayer. We want to help you take your next steps with Jesus. If you meant business with the Lord, you need to come. And I invite you to come. Others of you are here today. And right now you're just coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, I know I'm saved. But Lord, I ask you to renew my joy. Lord, help me to have joy that is greater than my circumstances. Help me to choose joy when my life is difficult. And then, Lord God, when my life is sweet and the circumstances are good and the joy is easy, Lord God, help me to give you praise. And Lord, amplify my praise to you because of the joy you've given me. Lord God, we love you. We praise you. We give this time of invitation to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Will you